Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
Although you see no water for miles around, you are, like us, marooned. You're stranded in this sad and lonely place called Barovia. To mix metaphors, we are incarcerated. The fog that surrounds us are the bars of our dungeon, and Baron von Strahd is our jailer. As far as I can tell, there is only one way out, and that is to kill Devil Strahd.
All of you, go to Kelover, cleanse, and then on the way to Valakai, and I gesture to the lodestone in the lake.
Yeah. Seems like a good plan to me.
As I'm leaving, I just lean in. When I'm gone, you need to make a fucking decision. And make it a good one. And I leave.
Hector, you know that Rahadin is waiting for you by the gates to Kuchery. He came with a wagon and horses. You can go straight to him if you have nothing else to do.
I think I would have had, just said goodbye to everyone.
Left a snarky remark.
Left a snarky remark. That probably the last thing I did.
Yeah.
Definitely would have had some, you know, maybe more closer goodbyes. Mm. Maybe some interesting, fearful, but some
intimate. Yeah.
Anyway, I don't think there's anything else I would need to do in Kuchery apart from, like, again, what we've sort of, I imagine that whole conversation had, that was like the 10th hour.
Yeah.
Of like, yeah, a preceding 9 other hours of back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah, for sure.
Probably before I'd leave, I'd check in on Iris and then see
absolutely.
She was doing and like seeing, making sure that she was, I guess, recovering well.
Give me one sec because I know exactly what's happened to Iris, which sounds suspicious,
but it's ominous.
It's not ominous, I promise you.
Iris, I kid. Looking quite haggard.
Oh, no.
Well, it's just better just to smell just you with it.
What?
Huh?
Iona has arranged for Iris to stay with Matilde. Do you remember?
Yeah, Matilde.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you head just out of town and to Matilde's. You can see that there is smoke curling out of the chimney. You see Matilde's two children playing out the front. As you approach, both of them get up and then run inside.
I forgot about Matilde. I guess this is also like, all right, cool. Well, look, two birds, one stone here.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's a polite boy. Oh, yes, I'll knock on the door. Well, this is great. I'll say yes. I thank you to Matilde and Iris.
You hear a bunch of latches and you realize that after the kids ran inside, the door was locked.
Yeah.
And the door opens. Matilde is standing in the doorway. You can see that what's it called? The chain?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What's that called? Is it just called a chain?
Yeah.
Probably.
Door chain.
The door chain is still attached for whatever good that would actually do. Not that you ever would, I assume, but you could very easily force your way in if you wanted to.
No.
The door opens and Matilde is standing there.
Is it good morning, good evening, good
afternoon?
It would be good evening.
Good evening, Matilde. I just want to, I'm heading off and I just want to thank you for your hospitality and also to check in on Iris.
Matilde, who this, after she opened the door, she's been pointedly, I don't know if you remember this, but this is something that a lot of the people of Kuchery do. She's pointedly staring down, not making eye contact. She says, yes.
It's like, how do you say, like, oh, you can, like, hey, you don't
you
have
can
to
look at me.
Look down, it's fine. But at the same time, it's like,
you don't
want to
be like, look me in the eyes.
Because then you're giving an order and you're like, it is okay. I just, like,
my eyes are up here. That's what you should say.
Yeah, you foot freak. I just want to maybe try to catch her eyes then to kind of like, you know,
all right, pulling a criminal intent. I like it.
You can kind of try to, like, you know, if they're like trying to avoid you, you are trying to like look them in the eye in a non-authoritarian way. If it's in any shape or form, I'm making them uncomfortable. Of course, I'm going to stop.
You're
going to
bail.
This is just me being like trying to be, hey, we're equals. It's fine. We cool. And I just want to thank you. You actually helped me out. You did me a solid. I just want to say thanks.
You catch her eyes for a brief moment, and the second you do that, her eyes go really wide in shock and horror, and then you immediately are like, I fucked up.
Yeah, no, sorry. I just want to say thank you so much. You really helped us.
Of course.
And I hope you're doing well.
Would you like to speak to Iris?
I would love to. And even if I could have, like, you know, maybe I had 10 gold and now I have 9 gold.
Yeah.
To give them as a thank you or something like that.
Takes the gold and says, thank you. What you did, though, you need not. You have saved this town from a terrible evil.
It is honestly.
She closes the door, but only so that she can unlatch it and then opens it for you.
Okay, cool. Well, then I would give it.
Yeah,
as a thing.
You step inside. Mm-hmm. You can see that the two kids have once again been sent to their room. Yep. The door to their room is closed. Iris is here in the main room, though.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. I was like, it's so much. You're like, you didn't need to send the kids away. It is fine. Like, no one is. Yeah, there's no ill will or ill intent here. It is. They can play. It is fine. You don't need to put yourself out any more than you already have. You don't need to secrete them away.
She nods.
I'm like, I want to emphasize. You're safe.
She nods, but you can see doesn't really know what to do with that information.
Nothing happens. I understand.
Yeah. But you got to say it.
Iris is sitting at the table. You can see there's a bunch of papers in front of her, and she has a very messy, because she's never really been taught how to use one, but she has an ink pen that she is dipping into an ink well, and then she's drawing pictures with. Yeah. You can see she's still from her ordeal. Mm. She's still a bit, like, her limbs are longer than they should be. Mm-hmm. And you can see that there is some disfigurements.
Yeah, there's like lingering effects.
Lingering effects, yes.
Would I know enough to think that'll eventually settle down? Or is that just going to be like, that's just a bit of a scar?
There will be... kind of, yeah, there will be some elements of this will stay with her for the rest of her life, but it is definitely going to die down more than it has already.
Well, that's something.
Yeah.
Yeah. She looks up at you and gives you a bright smile as you approach.
I give her another bright smile back and ask her, is it okay if I could sit next to you?
She nods and moves a little bit so that you can sit down next to her. Mathilde goes off and starts to brew a cup of tea.
Wonderful.
A pot of tea.
Thank you. Hello, Iris. I'm about to head down the mountain, and I do not know if I'll be back, or I hope to I'll get to see you again, but I do not know if I will. So I just wanted to come in and see how you are going and if you are okay.
Mm-hmm. She seems pretty unbothered, actually. She seems almost for a brief moment you could imagine that some terrible, awful events have not occurred to her. She, looking at the papers, you realize she's learning how to draw her name or write her name. You can see over and over again various attempts at Iris. Mathilde does not have a surname. You can see various attempts at Iris and maybe also some attempts at Mathilde. And then I don't think you ever learnt their names, but the other two, you presume the other two children's names.
Adam, you know how to put the knife in, eh?
We were busy. We had stuff going on.
You see, the other two children, their names would probably be Strosik and Vavina.
Yeah, we did not learn.
No.
That's okay.
We would have made fun of them.
You were busy. I'm not
silly names.
I feel no guilt.
and Pip do not feel guilt. Yeah.
We were taking a real,
they're not real people.
So just seeing how you're going and making sure that you're okay.
She stops for a second in the middle of drawing the second eye in Iris and says, doing well.
That's really good.
Mathilde's nice.
Yeah, she's a very lovely person. What do you, is it just writing or is it drawings or anything like
that? It's just writing, yeah. She's just writing attempts at her name over and over again. It's mostly pretty good. She's definitely come a long way since when she first started. Well, her name is pretty easy, but you see, probably Strosik, she's struggled with the most.
A lot of S's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I act sort of maybe ignorant and be like, what are you drawing? And try to like, what are you drawing there? What names have you
What names have you got there?
She points to Mathilde and says, Mathilde. She points to Strossick and says, Strossick. Mm-hmm. And she points to Vavina and says, Vavina. And then she points, she hasn't said Iris yet. Mm. She points to Iris and she says, Iris, that's my name.
Ah, it is a very beautiful name. Well, I'm Hector. Do you know how to write that?
She thinks for a second. Does she? She gets to the sea, mm-hmm. and then she looks at it and she's very confused. You can see she's troubled at that point.
Ah, yes. It is odd, but there is a K after the C.
She draws a very halting but decent, because she's had to do K for Strossick a few times. She draws a K.
I kind of like it. I think I will spend maybe an hour or so just kind of. Yeah, like I think we've learned penmanship.
Absolutely.
Not nowhere near as good as Pips.
No, but you would have. I mean, you probably spent some time.
You actually might have comparable skills to Pip. Actually,
nowhere near. Pip is like a virtuoso. Like,
yes,
he's something else.
Okay.
Like, if he didn't, like, properly dot those eyes, he'd get wrapped over the knuckles.
They'd dunk me in the ice bath or whatever.
Honestly, I think you were getting wrapped over the knuckles for not dotting eyes properly
that's
as well.
True,
I don't think they necessarily would have been as harsh or taken as much care in it as the Church of Bones.
The poor penmanship on your part wouldn't have been seen as, like,
a moral failing.
Yeah, a symptom of my filthy soul.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a difference.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I think I could probably spend a lot of time here just to kind of like let the kid be a kid and start, like, you know, writing things, maybe start drawing things, all those kind of things. Like the things that
she seems more interested in names. She has no interest in making drawings.
Again, just like let it, like, you know, her lead the way and then just start writing things down and. Like, if I can, teaching her some very basic, like, does it look like she is lacking in knowledge of, like, the alphabet or?
She was up until learning to do names completely illiterate.
Cool. Okay. Well, then, I will just, like, real basic stuff.
Sure.
Just sort of spending some time there.
She knows some things. Clearly, Matilda's been teaching her some of her ABCs. And while you're teaching her. Mathilde comes with a pot of tea for the two of you to share, and then she starts going around. You can see she's just doing housework.
I invite Mathilde to kind of sit down as well and maybe kind of, like, weirdly just sort of have, like, a little sense of normalcy.
Yeah.
You think, well, Mathilde's not, like, trying to avoid anything. Like, as she's going around doing housework, she occasionally stops and then will also offer things to Iris. You think this was probably what was happening before you arrive. You don't think, you think this is normality to them.
Oh, that's good. Well, yeah, okay. Then, yeah, I just spent enough time, like, here, maybe an hour, maybe a bit more, and then, you're doing incredibly well. Tell you what, if I find the time and the right... I guess, Raven, I'll send you a letter. Her reading comprehension is as good as her writing, basically.
In that it's not good.
Yeah. Like, a few times I'll write something and, like, do you know what this says? And
She can do your name now. She can do the names of everyone in this house and maybe a couple names of just people around town that she knows.
Nice.
And that's kind of it.
Okay. Well, if...
And the alphabet. She knows the alphabet. She can't form words with it yet, though.
Well, if God's willing, I will try to write to you sometimes. And maybe Mathilde, maybe she can help you read it. Would you like that?
Who are you addressing that to?
To Iris. Would you like that?
Iris, who's maybe, like, engrossed in... I wouldn't say gotten bored with your name, but she really wants to get her name right, and she's gone back to her name, really engrossed in that. And she goes, uh-huh.
I hope, I look at Mathilde. I hope she's not too much trouble.
Mathilde shakes her head slowly and says, no, it is not burdensome.
Really good to know. If she needs anything, just...
Iona has already provided.
Well, if you need anything more, just go to Bigfoot Pool. Now, he'll make sure that everything you need is taken care of.
I will.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
You get up. You leave and you head to Rahadin.
Yep.
Rahadin stands in the, like I said, it's blizzarding outside. Rahadin stands in the cold as if it doesn't harm him. He wears thick, heavy furs. You can see you, this is not the first time you clocked this. As he came into town, you realize this. He himself is a dusk elf, the same as Elainiel and her kin. You see he wears, in addition to those heavy furs, he has like a thick woolen scarf. And then, what are that, Yushanka hats?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He has one of those on his head. With gloved hands, he smokes a long, very long, comically almost, pipe. And when you get close enough, he lowers that pipe and speaks to you.
Can I, as I'm walking towards clocking at all, he's breathing, right? Like there's breath coming out. Like when he's like, you know, in the cold, you can kind of see that. Like he's... Yeah.
Get a good boy card.
Woo! Oh, lucky duck.
You just throwing the card after picking it up. You can see, yeah, there is mist, fog. Sorry, I should say, not mist. There is fog. Whatever. Yeah, you can see he's breathing. Condensation. That's
condensation.
Actually, I don't even know if that's the word. Whatever. There's the smoky.
I think it is condensation.
Yeah.
What's the one that's up with P?
Precipitation?
Precipitation?
precipitation.
What is that, the mist that comes out? Crystallized there.
No, is it precipitation?
It's
got something to do with the water cycle or some shit?
Humidity.
He's breathing humidity.
Okay, precipitation is any liquid or frozen water that falls from the atmosphere to the Earth's surface. So probably not that.
Yeah.
Probably not that. Water vapor, you're saying?
Water vapor is the answer.
That's not water vapor at all.
Wait, what was the other one we said? I don't think that's right.
Well, condensation. That's like usually when
steam, apparently. It's steam.
I guess that makes sense, actually.
Yeah.
Because, condensation is the droplets on like a glass pane or whatever, right?
I suppose it's steam. That's insane, but I suppose it is.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there's steam coming out of his mouth.
Ah, dragon! I run in fear.
Yeah, smart.
Okay, so he's alive.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
He's breathing.
Yes.
Huh. He, when you get close enough, he speaks. The journey to Castle Ravenloft is not for the faint of heart. Few dare to tread this road, and fewer still return. The master has taken an interest in you.
Does he take an interest in many people?
Rahadin considers for a moment and then says, some, but I think you are of particular importance. He opens the door for you.
Thank you very much. As I step in, did he take an interest in you when you, before you worked for him?
No. But of course, I am not special, he says. And he closes the door.
Huh. Step in and take a seat.
With a, the horses spring to life and the carriage trundles its way down Mount Gacchus. The interior of this carriage has a very gothic vibe to it. It's black leather seating on either side with red velvet curtains, which you can draw to, you would imagine they're designed to keep the sun out. But for gotcha. you can draw them for privacy if you wish as well.
Very heavy, thick.
Okay.
Oh, I was imagining red cushions for some reason, but no, black makes more sense.
But I was imagining red too for some reason.
Oh,
there is a folded woolen blanket here as well, should you want.
Oh, that's nice.
Is it chilly?
The biting cold from outside does permeate the interior of this cabin as well. You get the impression it was not designed for warmth.
Right. Mm. Okay. Well, I'll wrap myself up and I'll open up the curtains to kind of look out into the whatever we're seeing. Yeah.
There's not much, unfortunately, for you to see on the ride down from Mount Gacchus, as I said. The blizzard, it's not whiteout conditions, but it is thick enough that it's difficult, maybe actually impossible to see beyond, say, 30 feet in any direction.
Okay. Well, in that case,
I'll just close those curtains.
I'll just sit back and just kind of, contemplate, like, what have I gotten myself into?
I should add as well, it's dark enough out that you wouldn't call it really a chandelier, but there is a lantern hanging from the center of the roof that as soon as you stepped inside, it sprung to life and a soft glow illuminates the interior of this cabin.
It's very cozy.
Yeah, it is. It is very cozy.
It feels like you should have a mug of hot cocoa.
Okay. Well, I think maybe for the Can I reach up and maybe try and dim it? Or like, is there anything to kind of like...
You can dim, or yeah, it's got a little dimmer or a dimmer switch where you can make it brighter or less bright or turn it off.
I think I'll, might just turn it off, close the curtains, and maybe for the first time in Barovia, try to go to sleep knowing that I'm safe.
Okay.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You, as you fall asleep, you can hear Rahadin softly singing to himself, "If on a winter's night I should encounter but a fright." And then, yeah, you fall asleep.
With like a little lullaby.
It's pretty cozy in this carriage on your way to certain doom.
Yeah.
Meanwhile.
Yeah.
Pip, what are you doing?
Well, I assume we're gathering supplies for our trip down the mountain, sort of like, and into the woods to the lodestone.
Mm.
What supplies do we need? We can't horses, we don't have no carriage either.
Rations for the most part is what you'll need. You could see Cavendish has already got this sorted. In fact, you're kind of ready to go right now. I got a bad boy card, and you find it odd why Cavendish lose a gold piece. Players lose one gold piece, player's choice. Pick, one of you loses a gold coin.
I'll lose a gold coin.
Mark it off.
I throw it in a wishing well.
Mark it off. Get out your character sheet, you fucking...
You heathen. I'll take the gold piece, whatever. It's just, as I get out, it's just, just trundled under the wheels, whatever.
Okay, he lost the gold piece. I don't have to write it down.
Thank you,
Zamet.
Who are you even going to write?
I don't have a gold piece, probably somewhere.
Infuriating. Anyway,
I find it odd.
Yeah, you find it odd that John Cavendish would have spoken earlier about needing to prepare to leave when it seems like he's already made sure that you're prepared.
Okay, I go up to Cavendish and I'm like, wanted to give them sort of something of a head start. Was that the thinking?
Yeah, something like that. Yes. Mm. I felt it best to separate the group.
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't want Rahadin to think we're following him.
Sure. He says, sure.
Oh, speaking of, I guess before we'd gone, we'd probably have organized Pirin and as well.
Yes. Pirin will be taking the horse and...
Trailing
behind when he can, yeah.
And I'm assuming that he was thrilled.
Yeah.
Well, he hasn't really got a choice in the matter.
Yeah. Resigned is maybe how I'd describe it.
The Burgermistress probably gave the impression that she was going to make sure. Actually, the Burgermistress and Bigfoot Paul. Mm. Actually, you know what? Realizing that he's going to be left alone with Bigfoot Paul and the Burgermistress, both of whom he fucked over pretty badly.
Yeah.
He maybe left that meeting being like, yes, I guess I can do it in a week.
I'll start, I'm healing. I feel better already.
I feel better already, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely, I feel like I could fight off a barbarian and a mage.
Well,
even if they were working together.
Even if they were sharing one body.
I met the Burgermistress.
Well, he's just also there's another barbarian and mage.
Gorob and Lushan are, very clearly his nemesis as well. Yeah.
In this narrative.
He's got a lot of nemesis.
Yeah.
He doesn't make a lot of friends.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
A little.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's on you then.
Beard on your ass.
Okay. To Cavendish, I'll be like, how long do you reckon we give them?
Well, they'll be traveling faster than we will regardless. Yeah. We could leave now and it really wouldn't make a difference.
What time is it?
It's getting on. It's past midday. I would say it's like 3.
Yeah.
So the sun will be setting soon.
Probably. Maybe we spend another night here so we're not traveling, in the dark.
Well, very well.
Yeah. And then head out first light.
I caution you, though, both Iona and Tarpos are quite keen to get going as soon as possible. And because of that, Gorob and Lushan are also quite keen to get going as soon as possible.
Yeah. Well, that's a more difficult person to sway. Yeah. Well, maybe it's best to head off straight away then.
Yeah. Well, very well then.
All right. Well, I'll arrange everyone, I suppose.
One moment, Pip, if I may.
Yeah, of course.
I understand you cop it from a lot of different angles.
Yeah. I mean, You know, sometimes deservedly, but not always.
Well, that's very adult of you to say.
That's a textured sentence. From, you know, there's layers to that, yeah.
Have you, beyond the rebellion a year ago, have you had any experience leading soldiers?
I mean, a couple of small skirmishes with the sharpshot companions, but that was always with Durek at the side, you know, so not solo. No, not really.
Have you ever been in charge, or was there always someone else above you to give you orders?
Yeah, I guess I would say there's always been someone above me in some capacity.
Well, perhaps then this is something that you simply don't have the experience to know. But you could be a general who makes good decisions, and you could be a general who makes bad decisions. But Pip, you cannot be a general who makes no decisions.
Yeah. I see what you're saying, Cavendish. I see what you're saying.
I'm going to go get the rest of the party.
I, for what it's worth, wish you luck. Wish us luck.
I believe that, Cavendish. I really do. But anyway.
Very well.
I'll go and collect the
miscreants.
Others. The miscreants. The rest of the trouble.
Your ragtag.
Yeah.
You head back inside. Piran's getting his... Iona's changing Piran's bandages. Mm-hmm. And you can see she's taken a certain level of pleasure in dabbing an iodine solution on his wounds, which is quite clearly... It's painful for Piran.
Yeah.
And Iona is appreciating, enjoying the fact that this is for his own good.
Sorry to spoil the fun, but I think the intention is to leave as soon as possible.
Good. Iona stands up.
Mm-hmm.
She finishes dabbing. She gets one little dab in.
One last lick in, yeah.
Piran winces one more time. Very well, then. I have all of my things packed. Just give me one moment. She
please
heads upstairs.
Is it just me and Piran?
It's just you and Piran
for a brief period of time. Okay. Hey, look. I mean, I don't know what sort of leverage you're going to have when you get there, but please stop him if it looks like he's doing anything stupid, and he probably will. Step in for me, for us.
What? What are we determining as something stupid?
I don't know. If you get there and he's down on his knees with his neck to the side, and you can see the glint of Strahd's fangs, just try.
I'll stop Strahd.
Just try and get him out of there. Or if he looks like he's going to... Look, yeah, look.
I'll do what I can, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
Look. whatever. Yes, I'll do what I can.
Okay.
Man, morale has never been higher.
Pip, we must bloom where we are planted.
Ain't that the truth? When Iona comes back, I guess myself, Iona, we'll go find Tarpos, Garup, and Lushan, and then we'll start heading down the mountain. Hoods up, gloves on. Heads down.
Full hearts can't lose.
Full hearts can't lose.
Mm-hmm. All right, you start making your way down the mountain. Mm-hmm. You, unlike Hector, are going to need to make a random encounter check.
Yeah.
Our favorite.
Yeah. Lovely. Where's Pop? Is Pop with us?
Tarpos is keeping track of Pop. Tarpos, maybe, honestly, maybe Pop's trailing behind Tarpos.
Oh, okay.
Just not like far, just behind Tarpos.
Yeah. That's as long as Pop's coming with us.
Yeah, every now and then as you trudge back down Mount Gacus, you hear the...
That's good. There's a comfort to that.
If you get too close at any point, Pop will kind of... Pop full-on runs towards you, spreads its wings.
That's so scary, dude. Getting attacked by a goose. But there's a comfort to that. Pop's sharp bite on my ankles, there's a familiar nature to that. You know?
A familial nature.
Some might say.
All right, I got good news and I got bad. No, I got bad news and I got bad news. Which do you want first?
Hit me with the bad news. Is it bad and worse?
Who's first? Who's first in your line trudging?
It would probably be either Garub and Lushan or Cavendish.
Either Garub? Who's Garub?
Garub?
You said Garub.
Garub?
Gorob, yeah, Gorob. It's G-O-R-O-B.
This is my accent, dude. Gorob, or Lush, and Lushan.
Yeah.
Or Cavendish at the front.
All right. Well, Pip.
Yes.
You spot as ahead of you, you see John Cavendish comes to a halt suddenly, mm-hmm. and he puts a hand up to gesture for everyone else to come to a stop.
Okay, we do. What?
Trap. We're surrounded.
I flip because I'm presuming I'm at the back just because I'm a bowman. I turn around to look behind us. Can I see anything?
You see nothing. You see, like I said, there's a blizzard happening right now.
That's right.
You can't see further than 30 feet in any direction. Beyond the snow, mm-hmm. all you can see, and by beyond the snow, I mean just there is snow that you can see, but also you can see enough wagon trails to indicate where the path is. Mm-hmm. It's a crisscrossy section down. You can see some boulders and some either very dead plants or some plants that have lost their leaves for, well, it's kind of always winter here, some plants that have probably lost their leaves for the deepest part of winter mm-hmm. that you are in.
Surrounded by who? By what?
I'm not sure yet.
Just saw movement? Is that what we're saying?
No, there's a trap.
Can I, keeping my eye basically behind us, turn around to look what he's sort of talking about?
He gestures.
I guess keeping my wits about because I will have to turn around.
He gestures in front of him, mm-hmm. and you can see, sure enough, there is a snare of sorts set in the trail ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
It would, for the next person or for the first person to step into it, you would be grabbed and dragged away.
Okay.
You can tell, actually, you did pretty well. You can tell that this snare is not made by mechanical means. It's magical means. It looks very natural in, it's like if someone made a tree that did this. It looks like the work of druids.
Yeah, Tarpos, would the druids know we were coming?
Druid know many things. Could know.
Right. Right. Everyone get ready, I say. And then I'd like to fire a bolt into the snare to try and activate it.
The bolt hits the snare but does nothing. But it makes, well, it doesn't do nothing.
Yeah.
It makes it very obvious that you've seen the trap. And so they spring it anyway. Those dead trees mm-hmm. turn and start sprinting towards you.
How did I not see that?
And then from in snowdrifts, several humanoid figures explode out to join them. You can see a clutch of 4 twig blights
mm-hmm.
and 2 druids.
Okay.
Fine. We'll go to initiative.
No big deal.
This NBD, is good dude. Even.
You hear as the 2 druids speak druidic to each other.
Okay.
It sounds like noises of the nature. It sounds, to an untrained ear, it would sound less like a language and more like just call signs.
Or like kind of like bird call and like animal noises. Yeah.
You can't tell what they're saying, mm-hmm. but you can tell they're speaking a language, and then one of them points at Tarpos. Mm. Both of them lunge forward, and they seem to focus fire on Tarpos.
Okay.
One of them takes out a bolus, mm-hmm. swings it around in their hand, and throws it at Tarpos. As they throw it, it splits again and again and again, becoming like a set of a root network. It slams into Tarpos, wraps around her, and with a solid boom, she hits the ground.
Fuck, okay. Okay.
Another one throws a second bolus, but this one keeps a rope attached to the druid.
Mm-hmm.
It also wraps around Tarpos. And then that druid starts dragging Tarpos towards her.
Oh.
Pip, it's your turn.
Crank Durak's crossbow to fire.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'll fire it at the druids. I'll fire one shot at one druid and another at the other one.
You deal 12 points of damage to one of the druids, mm-hmm. bloodying him.
Great.
So one of the druids takes that'd be the first one who threw the mm-hmm. initial bolus. You see, you shoot him in the gut, he doubles over. You can tell that you have killed him an hour from now.
Fuck yeah.
The other one, about the same amount of damage.
Okay.
So the other one also takes a pretty bad blow, and you can see that that is going to bleed out if they don't look after it. Cool. But both of them are still in the fight.
And I'd like to yell to everybody, we fought twig blights before. Freeze and then flame.
Iona goes next. Looking, you say freeze and then flame.
Mm-hmm.
She looks around and she looks around at like the snow that you're in and then gives you like a look like,
yeah. Yeah, probably.
She throws a ball of fire at one of the twig blades. It hits, and I'm going to say it counts as well.
It's all gold.
She deals double damage. Oh, yeah. She deals 20 points of damage. One of the twig blights goes up in flames. And that leaves 3 twig blights, 2 druids.
Okay. Okay, baby. Here we go.
Then it is John Cavendish's turn. He starts drawing his little flintlock pistols and mm-hmm. bang, 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 bang. He shoots 4 times, dropping them and drawing new ones as he goes. He takes out 2 more of the twig blights, fuck leaving yeah. one fuck left.
Yeah. Easy.
Gorb and Lushan descend upon it. No. No, actually, no, they don't. Gorob and Lushan watch as Tarpos gets dragged away, and you watch as both of them enter a rage.
Oh, no.
My lady! They sprint towards that last druid. Not that last druid, sorry, both of them still standing. The druid dragging Tarpos away, they sprint towards that druid.
Yeah.
The druid drops the rope, throws up its hands as if it's about to surrender, and then Gorob and Lushan descend upon them.
Oh, no. A rabid animal.
They bite, kick, punch. God.
They're not even casting spells.
Jeez.
They're just fully just using their tongue and teeth.
That druid dies. Yeah. And it dies. She dies slow.
Yeah.
Or quick. Actually, yeah. I guess it's a relative. No, quickly.
Yeah.
Very quickly. But they keep going. Then it is. Oh, and then it's the engineer's turn.
Oh, yeah, the engineer's with us. I keep forgetting about the engineer.
Mm. He also fires a bolt of flames at one of the twig blights, mm-hmm. striking it, and I'm not going to roll because I think minimum damage would still kill it.
Nice.
He kills one of the last twig blights. Oh, gosh, then it's the druid's turn. The surviving druid turns and runs.
Can I plug it as it's heading out, like fleeing?
Sure, you can fire at him.
Yeah.
You get one hit, and that's enough. You fire a second bolt into the retreating druid's back.
Mm-hmm.
He bowls over, hits the ground, and lays still in the snow.
Is it weird to see druids this far up the mountain?
Yep.
Mm. I turned to Tarpos. What were they saying to each other?
Gorob and Lushan, with one mighty tear, free Tarpos yeah. from her binds. They fuss over her.
Yeah, I was going to say I help her up, but I don't imagine I need
my
to.
Lady! We are so sorry. Yeah. A blow aimed at you that we should have taken.
I'm sure she forgives.
We are slime.
I'm sure she forgives you.
Filth at your feet.
I'm sure she
We have failed you for the last time. Say the word, my lady, and we will fall upon our sword.
There's really, truly no need. Tarpos, although... Tarpos, what were they saying to you? They were speaking druidic. I couldn't understand it. I'm assuming you can. Maybe that's rude.
They said, get Keshgar ahead, she says. That's a lie.
Why would they want Keshgar's head?
He leader, she says. You listen?
I'll try to tell us. I know you're lying to me. I'm just trying to make it easy for you.
Lying?
Yes. What were they really saying? You know, I mean, what...
She shrugs. Didn't hear then.
Okay. Was it... I mean, I don't know what you think it could be that it would affect what we're going to do. Like,
I'll
I don't
make that
know,
a persuasion.
Yeah, what, yeah. Yeah. Well, never mind. God. All right. I'll go over and I'll search the bodies of the druids.
Okay.
I'll figure it out myself then, Tarpos. That's fine. That's, you know, I'm trying to help. God damn it. Okay.
It's like, you know, not telling you the truth. They were so worried. Like, I don't care. Yeah.
You're not in trouble. I don't give a shit. Think I give a shit, Tarpos? Maybe I'm saying that as I'm looking through the body. Think I give a shit what your problems are?
You find as you're searching them, as you're turning them over,
mm-hmm.
you find that, I suppose you find like 12 gold coins in a pouch made out of a rat.
I'll still yuck. Yuck. I'll empty the rat out.
Sure.
Take the gold.
You find, in addition to that, actually, you find some equipment.
Oh.
Some alchemy components, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course. Hey,
fabuloso.
You find a direst wolf heart.
Oh.
2 doses of elemental spirits.
Nice.
1 dose of flump spores. 3 pinches of shadow, 5 ghast guts. Jesus, you find the whole damn ghast.
Where are ghast guts?
Ghastgul
grave dancer innards. Yeah.
And 3 unicorn horn.
Oh my god. Is there anything on the dru-
Yes, sorry. In addition to that, yeah. I should have said. In addition to that, you find a piece of bark that has been torn off a tree. And on the piece of bark, you can see a crude map has been drawn. Mm-hmm. You do not know what the map says. And a second piece of bark, which has also been obviously torn off a tree, you can see there is a rough, an artist's quote-unquote depiction of you, of Tarpos, of Gorib and Lushan, of who else? Huh. A ton of members of your party. You, Hector, Cribbit, there would be Elaniel, Esmeralda, Gorib and Lushan, Tarpos, and Yender. You can see that the depiction of Tarpos has been circled.
I like turn it around to Tarpos. Don't know what this means, I'm guessing. I imagine, I like also open it up to, I guess, Cavendish. I'm guessing the thinking here is maybe revenge for what we did with the tree blight.
At this exact moment in time, Hector rolls over and just smiles. I don't know. He just feels happy.
Just feels good. Feels pleased to be alive.
Cavendish takes less interest in the depictions as he takes more interest in the map, to be honest.
What are we looking at?
Well, I don't really know what this is, but this could be a map. Well, a map is more interesting than something we already know.
Yeah, yes, fair enough. So they know we're coming, though. I mean, we know that much.
Mm.
So I imagine that the node, however fortified it was previously, double that would be my guess. And watch out for further traps. I truly wish Tarpos would tell me. I mean, she knows. She clearly knows.
If she does, she's acting like she can't hear you right now.
Yeah, I'm sure she is.
He's like just staring at the back of her head because she knows.
She knows exactly what's going on.
Not telling me.
Again, I can't imagine what it could be that she thinks would, you know, in some way affect the way this whole party. You can't tell where the map is of.
In my sleep, I stretch out.
Cavendish shakes his head. Oh, I can't make hide nor hair of it.
Iona, any idea?
Iona has a look. Iona, tracing the line, there's like a path on the map. She traces that path and there's a, like an X marks the spot sort of thing that you hadn't really, you honestly thought that was just a flaw in the bark itself. But she traces the path to where that little flaw is. And she says, I think that this is perhaps a indication of an area. And this area is where we stand right now. And she gestures, she follows that path as well. You still kind of think it does look like just a flaw in the bark. She could be wrong about this. But if she's right, this path looks like it leads straight to the lodestone.
Okay. I would like to squat down and make a concoction.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to make, what would this be? Oh, I don't have any coadal eggshells. Fuck. I need something to check if I'm being scryed. That's my plan. Except I have fucking nothing. And I don't want to waste a formiae. They're so useful. Resistance to energy? Nah. There's really only one that wards against far seeing. Well, you know what? I don't have any ingredients to make that. Never mind. How would they know we're here? Oh, I mean, what, we got a spy?
Are you once again asking the group?
I like squat down, fiddle through all of my potions and my ingredients, and they go, and stand up.
Cavendish gives you a look like the idea of a spy is remote, but also very concerning.
Yeah. Wizard Supreme, I say.
Yes!
God. Can you check if
Of course I can! What? Sorry, what did you need?
Can
you? You idiot! Listen to the man! Wizard Supreme! Turn your ears on, you fool! Turn my ears on! You turn your ears on! I can't even remember the last time you listened! Listened? To what? After all the thunderous spells you cast, you disgusting worm! Worm! I am the Wizard Supreme! Who are you to call me worm?
I'm rubbing my snout so hard I'm starting to fire, dude.
Gora punches both of their guts and they double over.
As they're like doubled over, I'll put an arm on their shoulder and be like, hey, could you check if we are being scryed right now, prisoner?
There is no magic that can detect a scrying.
that was Gora.
That's just not true. That's just not true, actually. You know, be it for me to tell you how to do your job, but that's just not true.
Lushan, stroking his beard, says, perhaps a spell could be constructed if but I had a moment of quiet.
Yeah.
All right, then shut the
Go
hell up.
Go on, Wizard Supreme. I will keep my mouth shut for as long as it takes for you to construct
that.
Your
Honestly,
spell.
Honestly, I don't believe that. I don't think that's true. I don't think he's going to do that.
Lushan starts muttering to himself.
Okay. I don't know if he's just muttering in frustration or if he's making this spell. Is he making that? Is he doing it or is he just pissed off? Is he making the spell or is he just muttering?
This is something a little like, you know, I don't know, like one of them asking for quiet, you know? It just feels insulting.
Insane.
It just feels
it's so rude.
Yeah.
With a flourish, Lushan finishes casting his spell.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes him about, by the way, it takes him like half an hour to cast this spell.
Is there like maybe a snowbank we could kind of get out of the wind? Yeah.
Nope.
Okay. Well,
you're pretty exposed the entire
time.
It's
either exposed on this part of the mountain or exposed on another part of the mountain.
You are sodden, wet, mm-hmm. and miserable. The entire party takes 6 points of cold damage.
Fuck. That's fine. 6 points. You'll survive.
Oh, except Tapos.
Yeah, of course. Who won't tell me what's going on?
What does she think is gonna happen? I don't care.
Lushan finishes casting his spell.
Yeah.
And a 10-foot dome springs into radius around you. It's kind of like, it looks almost like obviously you wouldn't say this, but it looks like a force field, like a shimmering energy field.
Okay.
The wind, as soon as it springs into existence, the wind stops mm-hmm. and the temperature immediately rises to a comfortable level. It's actually, you wouldn't call it like summery or anything like that, but you could get around in just a shirt.
Whoa.
in this temperature.
That's amazing.
The snow all around you within this dome begins to slowly then rapidly melt, and you can see the ground. It's within this dome. Mm-hmm. It is comfortable.
I'm imagining the snow hitting the top of it, making like a sound as it sort of sizzling as it hits. Well, this is nice.
We are protected from scrying.
It's not quite. That's good. That's good. That's good. Can you tell by protecting us from scrying if we were previously being scryed?
Gorob. You idiot! The man asked if you knew the name of the person scrying us.
That's not what I asked. Just wanted to know, but how long will this last, this bubble?
8 hours, and not a moment longer, for the spell's energies sap even my strength.
I wonder if there's some, it's like the evening, right?
Yeah, it's becoming nighttime.
I wonder if it's maybe worthwhile bedding down here.
John Cavendish, who you see, he was probably standing next to Gorob and Lushan. You can see he's got a finger in the ear that was on their side. Mm-hmm. You see he's kind of like clearing it out, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, it sounds
protected from the weather. I mean, I don't know if we're going to get a better protection, you know, further down the mountain. If we do, it's not going to be this temperature. And considering we're going to need our strength, and I don't want to get, you know, further fucked up climbing down the mountain.
You can all fit within this dome, but I'm letting you know that it's snug.
That's fine. That's, okay. I mean, as long as no one touches me, that's fine.
There's kind of no way to not,
That's honestly, to be comfortable, to be a comfortable temperature in Barovia is, I imagine, such a rarity that I don't even complain.
Well, you set up camp here for the night, and you're taking watch, I assume. How are you breaking that up?
I'll take first watch, and then we'll just try and evenly distribute it, I guess.
Okay.
I'll go first watch, then Garb and Lushan, Tarpos, Iona, Cavendish, and then I guess the engineer. I trust the engineer to wake us up if there's danger. The engineer's not going to betray us, unless in the middle of the night someone comes along and says, hey, you should betray them. But that's not. What are the
odds? About Iona? Did you say Iona?
Iona is second to last.
Second last. I mean, you could always do it in groups of two.
That's maybe probably a better idea, actually, so somebody's watching. You know, this is a nest of vipers.
Sure.
If I've ever been in one. So, no, not really. But I'll go maybe myself and... No, I don't want to go myself and Cavendish. He's judgmental at the moment. I'll go myself and Iona. Tarpos and Garb and Lushan. Cavendish and the engineer.
All right. You settle in for... Not a safe night's sleep, but a comfortable night's sleep.
Yeah, hey, I'll take it, dude. I'll take it.